discovery of London. That's London Walks Distilled. London Walks makes the new familiar, and the familiar new. That's London Walks opened out like the petals of a rose. This is the London Walks podcast. Sure enough, it's a discovery of London that makes the new familiar and the familiar new. Like London Walks, the podcast is a potpourri and a many-stringed instrument. Every day, there's a Today in London History Bulletin. Friday's a doubleheader, the London History Bulletin and the weekly podcast. Everything from interviews to readings by the two London Walks guides who are professional narrators, to Helena Jones's brilliant analyses of famous paintings, to extracts from London Walks tours, to retrospectives and look-aheads. All done to the London Walks gold standard. Take you places you wouldn't have found off your own bat, show you things you wouldn't have seen, tell you things you didn't know. Make the new familiar and the familiar new. Change the way you see London. Okay, that's the ringing of the tocsin and the writing on the greeting card. Let's see what's in the box today. London Calling. First, the hors d'oeuvre. The Today in London hors d'oeuvre. Get back. This podcast certainly does. Get back, in this instance, by going on a Beatles London walk. Today in London history. It's March 4th. March 4th, 1966. The London Evening Standard published an interview with John Lennon in which he claimed the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. Now, I knew about that interview, and that's about all I knew about it. I thought, well, I could cobble something together, but no, I can do a lot better than that, because we've got Richard Porter on the team. Richard has been a London Walks guide for 30 years, and nobody knows more about the Beatles than Richard Porter. He's won the Beatles Brain of Britain title several times. He's written a couple of books on the Beatles. He just knows them inside and outside. So I've talked Richard into coming on and talking to us about that interview. Hello, Richard. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hello, David. It's a pleasure.
Okay. So, yeah, it was published in the Standard. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, well, it's a series of interviews done by Maureen Cleave, who did a series of all the Beatles under the title How Does a Beatle Live? And she interviewed them all separately at their homes and other places. And she spent a whole day with John Lennon talking about many different subjects. And religion was one of those. So at the time, there was a big problem in the Church of England. Church attendances were falling alarmingly, especially amongst young people. And the church was seen as very old-fashioned. And there was a big debate in the press about what to do about this to get young people to go in. And John was reading a newspaper every day. In fact, lots of his song lyrics came from newspaper stories, A Day in a Life being a good example of that. And he was reading books about religion. And in the interview, he basically remarked that the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ. Mm. And it was only a couple of lines in a very long interview. But it caused, or didn't cause much of a fuss here in the UK. People thought, it's John Lennon making his comment about something and didn't really say much more. I mean, people agreed with John. It was true for much young people that church attendances were falling. So, in fact, some people said maybe the Beatles should do things in church to get more people to go in. Didn't cause much of a stir here.
Mm-hmm.
But then months later, an interview reappeared in an American fan magazine called Datebook. So, ironically, I put McCartney on the front cover, but it's John's comments that caused all the fuss.
Mm-hmm.
And it really caught fire in the southern states, so-called Bible Belt. I mean, it was a radio station called Birmingham Wacky Radio in Birmingham, Alabama, who had the first publicity about it. They banned Beatles records from being played, even though they weren't playing them in the first place. and they organised big fires. People would come and burn the Beatles records and memorabilia.
Oh, my God.
And this is just before the Beatles were due to arrive in America for a concert tour. And this spread throughout the whole of the southern states. And Brian Epstein had to fly over to America before the tour to check what was going on. And the Beatles' first press conference in Chicago, it was all about John's comments. And John was really nervous. In fact, he threw up before the press conference. Uh-huh. And he clarified his comments. He didn't really apologise. He won't say it's true for the England and not true for here, that young people weren't going to church, and that's what he was saying, and it was not true for America. But it did cause a fuss. There were demonstrations outside the concerts in the southern state. I mean, Memphis, the Ku Klux Klan were outside. saying we're a terror organisation, we're going to disrupt the concert. And during the concert, someone let off a firecracker, and everyone turned to see where John had been shot. And they're getting fed up with touring anyway.
Yeah.
But this is the final straw, really.
Yeah. Rich, where was the interview held then?
Partly at John's home in Weybridge, and also at Brian Epstein's offices in Argyle Street, London, next door to the London Palladium. That was his offices of NEMS Enterprises, his company.
Uh-huh. And do you know the sequence? Who did they interview first? What was the order? Do you happen to know that?
I don't know offhand. They all were very close together. The interviews appeared 1 week after, 11 on a Friday, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember which order. And also, he interviewed Brian Epstein as well during it.
Right. And were those interviews, were they recorded by any chance, or were they just her doing shorthand?
I can't remember hearing any audio of it. Certainly, it's a very long interview in the Standard. It's about four pages.
Uh-huh. And how long did that hang around? I mean, there was an immediate reaction when the word got across to the States. Did it linger? Did it hang around?
Well, actually, it wasn't really that immediate because it was in March here, March the 4th, but they didn't really reach America until July, August, when the interview appeared in Date's Book, the American fan magazine. And that's when it really started spreading. So before that, it hadn't really got over there.
Yeah. I imagine there must have been plenty of American youths who agreed with the remark. I mean, not all of them, of course, but...
No, and of course, the tour went ahead, and, you know, they were playing in... But it's been said the Beatles invented stadium rock.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we're playing in stadiums, like Shea Stadium in front of 50,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they didn't have the PA system they have nowadays.
Uh-huh.
They're using the PA of the stadium, which are meant for a message to football crowds and baseball crowds, not for music.
Uh-huh.
The Beatles couldn't hear themselves play.
Interesting.
So after all that, you know, they couldn't hear themselves play. Well, after John's comments as well, they're just getting fed up with touring. And in fact, they gave up. They gave their last concert at Candlestick Park, San Francisco, on August the 29th, 1966, and confined themselves to a recording studio after that. And John's comments is part of that reason.
Richard,
they feel right.
Where did this come in there? How many times did they cross the Atlantic?
They only went to America four times.
You know? Uh-huh.
Twice in 64, once in 65, once in 66.
Uh-huh. Is there anyone today who remembers that comment?
It did cause quite a stir. But I think it died down fairly quickly.
Uh-huh.
Maureen Cleave actually sadly died not long ago, actually.
Uh-huh.
But I think she was rather embarrassed. She was a big supporter of the Beatles. I mean, she had been writing about them since their early days in 63.
Uh-huh.
In fact, she called 63 the year of the Beatles in the Evening Standard.
Oh, right.
And it's been said that John Lennon had a fling with her.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And how did it lead into that question? Where did the question come from? Was it a question that she posed, or is it come along? He makes that statement partway through an answer, or
yeah, I mean, it's not really done as, I mean, it's done a, not really an interview as such. It's done like an article about with quotes rather than an interview as such. Uh-huh. And it just said that, you know, this is what John Lennon said about the state of religion at the time.
So we don't really know what the lead-in was, what they were discussing that prompted him
well,
to...
Well, I mean, they were discussing religion in general. I mean, John had lots of books about the state of religion and stuff. So I think it came from that.
I've never thought about this. Were these kids brought up as Catholics or Protestants or anything like that?
Yes, good question. Liverpool is very split between Protestants and Catholics. And the Beatles often their families are kind of mixed. Most of them had family on both sides, which is unusual. Normally, you didn't have these sort of mixed marriages, as it were, between the two strands. But the Beatles, they weren't particularly religious. I mean, John certainly wasn't religious.
And we'll make this the last one because it should be about this interview. But I'm just interested. Liverpool's a very, very Irish city. There are a lot of Irish immigrants in there. Do any of the Beatles have Irish blood?
All four go way back, but three of them had Irish grandparents.
How interesting.
And, of course, both John and Paul wrote songs of pro-Irish republicanism.
That's interesting, Richard. Interesting. Okay, when do you do the walks, Rich? Let's get the plug in.
Okay, so there's the Bishop Magical Mystery Tour, which is every Sunday and Thursday at 11 from Tottenham Court Road. And there's the Beatles In My Life for Marylebone Station on Tuesday and Saturday at 11.
And on one of those walks, do you talk about that interview, by any chance?
Yes, I do. We go past Brian's offices on the Magical Mystery Tour.
All right, and so it comes up there.
We do.
Yeah. Ah, that's great, Rich. Great. Okay, well, thanks very, very much. Thanks a ton.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks be in touch. Much. Thanks,
cheers.
Rich.
Thanks, cheers.
See ya.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.